Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Dan. I'm one of the pastors here at Epicenter Church. Like I said, we're testing out this mic. So yesterday I came in and I ran through my sermon and it was good. Hopefully it's good today too. If not, we'll switch over. But this morning I'm going to be talking about the subject of identity and sonship. Now, I know you guys know that I love healing a lot, but honestly, I love identity a million times more. Because when you know who you are in Christ, healing flows out of that. And when you know that you're a son, you're able to enter into intimacy with the Father. And so when I say son, I'm also including daughters. But today I'm going to refer to y'all as sons. Because if I have to be a bride of Christ for the rest of my life, at least for one day, y'all can be sons. So I got saved at a denominational church, and I'm grateful for my roots. I'm grateful for where I got saved in. They gave me a love and a hunger for the word. But when it came to identity, the most of what I was taught was that I was a sinner, and I was always going to be a sinner. And, you know, if you identify as a sinner, you're going to do what sinners do. You're going to sin. And so, while I was at this church, and I still have a lot of friends there. I love them. They're amazing. I was a part of the young adults group. And so we would meet up. It'd be guys and girls. We'd be together. And then we would split off. And honestly, I was always jealous of the girls' group. I was like, is there any way I could go into that group? Because it just seemed like all of them had a deeper relationship with the Lord. I would hear rumblings of healings happening. I would hear that some of them would have dreams and visions from the Lord. And so it seemed like there's a lot of undercover spirit-filled people. And I didn't even know what spirit-filled was at the time. But all I knew was it was a lot better than our guys' group. Because our guys group, all we talked about was sin. We were trying to hold each other accountable, but no one was living in freedom. Wow. Not even our leader. Our leader wasn't even living in freedom. And so it's just the blind leading the blind. And so, you know, in the word, we sort of see that there's freedom, but then we're being told that we're sinners. And so there's this inner struggle in us. And every single day, instead of waking up enjoying the Lord, we're just trying not to sin. And so while I was in this group, I continued to devour the word, and I would read for hours and hours and hours. I just had a hunger for the word. I had a hunger for the Lord. And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me through the word very clearly, very not audibly, but just very clearly. And so I would share that with the group, and the leader would always shut me down. Wow. He always said, Dan, God doesn't speak through the word like that. Whoa. When you read the word, you have to read everything in context. And I agree with that. You have to read things in context. You need to know the context of things. Context, okay, yes. So, I mean, I love context. I believe in context. But God can also speak to you through the word. And so, you know, I would go multiple times. And I'd be like, man, no, I just feel like the Lord is speaking to me. And he would just shut it down every single time. And so, you know, this was a denominational church. It wasn't really spirit-filled or anything like that. And so I was just really confused. Because it's like the words are jumping off the page at me. And I'm hearing the girls talk about their experiences with God. But then I'm being told, no, God doesn't speak that way. And so, as much as I love the word, though, there was things I didn't understand. I didn't have a lot of understanding when it came to words. Like, I wasn't really taught grace. I wasn't really taught righteousness. I wasn't taught justification or sanctification. And those can sound like big words. And if you don't know the context, it can be confusing. Like for me, I'm a 90s kid. So
I grew up watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And so one of the words that they use a lot is righteous, but it was in the context of awesome. And so I would read, and it would say righteous in the Bible. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. What's happening? But because I was being shut down so many times, and that's not the only reason why, but I was also scared and embarrassed to ask the meaning of words. And because of that, I went months and years without knowing the meaning to a lot of these concepts and words. And so Proverbs 4:7, it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. And so when we're in the word, we need understanding. We need to understand what it's saying. Otherwise, we're going to read and, you know, we sort of kind of get it, but we really don't. And then there's a lot more fullness that the Lord wants to bring you into. And so I always tell the young adults, if you have a question, ask it. There's no stupid questions. Because I'd rather you ask a question because you want understanding than to get in the word, not have any understanding, and then you're stuck in an area where God wants you to have freedom in. And so during this time, I started, you know, because I heard the rumblings of all the healings and stuff, I started looking up on YouTube street healing videos. And so I found like 3 or 4 people. You know, I've shared a little bit about my experience with all of that. But I don't think I shared this part. When I went, you know, my whole motive was healing. I want to move in healing. I want to see healings in my life. But the school was actually an identity and lifestyle school. Now, if you would have asked me what identity and lifestyle meant, I would have no clue. But when we were there, the teacher had us sit down in a classroom. It was about 7 or 8 of us. And he asked us one simple question. He asked us, who are you? And so all of us, we said our names because, you know, if someone asks who you are. But all of us kept failing. And he kept asking us, I didn't ask your name. I asked who you are. And it just wasn't clicking. And so he said, you're a son of God. You're a child of God. At the core of who you are, that's who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. And I never, I mean, you can read it, but when you're told the exact opposite for so many years, you know, you identify as a sinner, and then you're being told you're a son, it was like blinders were finally ripped off. And it was like I started learning who I was in Christ. He started teaching on some concepts that are kind of foundational in charismatic circles, like spirit, soul, and body. The new man and the old man. You know, you're a saint, you're not a sinner. And so it was just, during this time, a lot of wrong beliefs about myself were just being demolished, basically. And so while I was there, my biggest takeaway is, I'm a son. I'm not a sinner. The Lord loves me. He wants me to walk in freedom. He wants me to walk in holiness. And it's like, I'd read all these scriptures about it, but it didn't make sense until someone really spoke that into my life. And so in the past, you know, I had read Romans 6 about freeing from being free from sin multiple times. But I was always taught you have to be a sinner, that you're always going to be a sinner. You're always going to struggle with sin. And the reason why they would teach that is because of Romans 7. But Romans 6 says I'm free. But then Romans 7, Paul talks about being a carnal soul under sin. But you have to realize the context of that is he's addressing the Jewish believers about the law passing. And then around verses 13 to 14, he talks about himself as a man apart from Christ under the law. But then when it gets back into Romans 8, he goes into how there's no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then he goes on to how Now that we're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he's made us free from the law of sin and death. But here's the thing. If we don't have the context, if we don't have the understanding, we'll take the things from Romans 7, but ignore Romans 6 and Romans 8. And so I love that the Bible has chapters, that it has verses. It's awesome for studying. But if we're not reading the whole thing as one big letter, we can focus on one chapter that's not even talking about our present state. And so in all of our getting, we have to get understanding. So we've been set free from sin. We've now been made righteous. We still have the ability to sin, but through surrender and sanctification, he changes our desires. He changes our desires to not want to sin, but if, not when, if we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's forgiven us of all of our sins. He's justified us, making it just as if we never sinned. And my old man died with Christ, and I've been risen up in Christ in the newness of life as a new creation. I no longer have to identify with sin as a sinner. I identify with Christ as a redeemed son. Now that I'm a son, I have access to the Father. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ, and I've been given the Holy Spirit. But because of everything I was taught before, I lived so many years questioning if I was hearing God, believing I would never have freedom, and I didn't even know who the Holy Spirit was because they didn't really teach on him. I thought he was my conscience. That's just what I grew up thinking. And so if you don't know who you are and whose you are, you won't know what you have access to. And you will continue to live like an orphan. Let me repeat that. If you don't know who you are and whose you are, you won't know what you have access to, and you will continue to live like an orphan. You'll live less than what God has called you to. You'll find your identity in people and in relationships. You'll find your identity in jobs and in the things that you do. Now, I promise I'm staying on subject here, but I love the UFC. I love watching fights. It's not just the violence. It's there's strategy. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it if you really get into it. I love watching the interviews. I love listening to podcasts about the mentality of fighters. They dedicate their whole life to this sport. They have to train 2 to 3 times a day. They have to get their rest and recovery in. They have to eat right because they have to make weight. If they don't make weight, they lose 20% of their purse. And in the UFC, you don't just get one payment. You get a show money. So usually an entering fighter, they get $12,000 just to show. And then if they win, they get another $12,000. But if you lose, you don't get that second check. And so there's 8 weight divisions. And everyone's goal is to be champion. Because when you're champion, that's when you start making the big bucks. And even then, it's nothing compared to boxing. And so their whole life, not their whole life, but while they're in this career, their whole identity is in being a fighter. I have to fight. I have to do my best. And you're in this. Like, they even tell their wives, like, hey, when I'm in training camp, leave me alone. Basically, don't talk to me. Like, I'm a fighter. This is my life. Nothing else matters. It's a very selfish sport. But here's the thing. Once you hit the age of 35, the chances of becoming a champion drastically drop. There's probably been maybe 5 to 6 at most in the weight divisions of 185 to 125. And then for the other divisions, it's maybe around age 40. But at age 40, almost everyone retires. And so when they retire, their whole identity has been in being a fighter. They end up, a lot of them, they don't have any other skills. They don't have a backup plan because they put everything into fighting. And so once they have to retire, they feel purposeless. They don't have any identity. A lot of them end up being alcoholics, getting depressed. There's been some who've committed suicide. And so in the same way, when we put our identity in anything in Christ, it's very easy to go down that same path. Whether we have a job and we get laid off, whether we put everything into a certain hobby, the Lord only wants us to find our purpose and identity in Him. He wants us to find our trust in Him, because maybe He'll call you to a different job, but if your whole identity and purpose is in the job that you're doing now and He's trying to bring you somewhere else, you won't want to let it go, but He has something better for you. Or if you get laid off, He wants you to be so rooted in Him that you can trust Him for an even better job. And then there's another scary place that you can get to. You can find your identity in what you're doing for God. I love healing. I love doing street evangelism. And so whenever the first few years when I first started out, you know, I had a lot of friends running with me. And we would go and we would pray for people. And they were on fire for God. Some of them had seen crazier healings than I had at the time. And, you know, it felt like it was iron sharpening iron. But there's two people in specifically that I'm thinking about. And I love them. But they didn't have intimacy with the Lord. They weren't getting alone with God. They weren't seeking Him. And I would beg them, hey, get into the Word. You need to get into the Word. You need to have your time alone with God. And so a lot of them aren't even following the Lord anymore. Those two specific people aren't following the Lord anymore. Because the thing is they fell in love with the power of God. But they didn't fall in love with God Himself. And so they were living as orphans, and because they never really understood who they were as sons, because they were never fathered, because they never got alone, they never sought Him in the secret place, they ended up running away. They're ending up prodigal right now, and I pray for them to come back. But that's why it's so important that we know the Lord, that we get alone with Him, that we have our intimate times with Him, that we seek Him, that we know who that is, what His Word says about us and what His Word says about Him. The Father doesn't want us to live as orphans. He wants us to live as sons. In John 14, 15 through 18, it says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." You have to know that you're a son and not an orphan. You have to find your identity in the Lord. You have to find your purpose in Christ. It's not just what you're called to. Your purpose is to be a son, and out of knowing who you are as a son, you can walk in your calling. And so, orphans try to do good works to earn the love and approval of the Father. Sons know they are loved and approved by the Father, and out of being a son, they do good works. Let me repeat that. Orphans try to do good works to earn the love and approval of the Father. Sons know they are loved and approved by the Father, and out of being a son, they do good works. You would be surprised, but a lot of people don't know that the Father loves them because of a poor identity. The most common reasons are they don't feel loved by God, or they don't feel the presence of God. So there was one time that I was outside of a tea shop, and I actually ran into two people from the church that I got saved in. And so we were just catching up, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to pray for them. And so I started praying for them, and I actually got some words for them. And the presence of God came on them so tangibly that they started crying. They had never felt anything like that before. Because in the church that we were in, I don't know if this is their experience. I'm assuming it was. This was my experience. When it came to the presence of God, I maybe felt goosebumps. But even then, I was like, is it just because the AC is cold? And so I'd always question that. It marked them, it touched them. They had an encounter with God through that. They had never experienced the prophetic. They had never experienced the tangible presence of God. We were outside. We weren't even in a church. And they were asking what that was. I was like, that's the Holy Spirit. And so I was able to explain everything to them. And so probably a month or two later, I was back in Dallas because I believe this was during the summer. One of them reached out to me and was like, Dan, I need you to pray for me again because I need to feel that feeling of the Lord again. I need to feel the presence again because I don't feel loved. And I told him, I can't do that. I could pray for you and you could feel the Lord. You could feel his presence. You could even feel his love. But you have to know that he loves you because of what the word says. Otherwise, you're going to be living from encounter to encounter to encounter. And encounters aren't bad. I love encounters. But it's his word that's going to sustain you. Because what are you going to do when you're going through hell and there's not an encounter there? You have to know that he's in you regardless of if you feel him or not. And so I don't always feel the presence of God. Even in church, I don't always feel the presence of God. Lena will be up here and she's like, ooh, the presence is so strong this morning. Like, wow, you just got to get up here. You got to get up here. And I'm in the back and I'm just like doing sound. I don't feel anything, but I can still sense that something is happening. And so I'm aware something is happening. I'm not feeling anything, but it doesn't bother me because I know who I am. I know that he loves me regardless of if I feel him or not. And so I'm not moved by feelings. I love when feelings happen, but that I'm not rooted in that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He wants you to know him, and you have to know that he loves you. He loves you so much because he sent Jesus. That should be enough. It shouldn't be about feeling loved by God. It should be enough that he sent his son to die for us, to raise again, and bring us into freedom. He loves you. The Lord loves you. You're his son. You're his daughter. He loves you. Even when you don't feel it, his word says that he loves you. And you have to know that. You have to get that in you. And so eternal life is knowing him. We can have that here. We can know him here. We're not waiting to get into heaven. He wants us to know him here while we're on the earth. He wants you to have those intimate times with you. He wants you to seek him because he'll meet you in the secret place. You know, I think it was either while we were towards the end of Bible college or right after Bible college, I had felt the Lord say that eventually we would be on staff here at Epicenter Church, me and my wife. I didn't know how that was going to look like. I wasn't going to try to put myself in here. Lena knows I never talked to her about that before. But even during that time of hearing from the Lord, because, you know, I'm in that place of intimacy of him. I'm in the secret place daily. I'm seeking him, and he tells me that. We had another church approach me and Alicia, and it was actually a bigger church. They had 300 to 400 people. They had a youth group. They wanted us to be their youth pastors. And on paper, like, it would be every Bible college student's dream to go and be hired by this church. We weren't even applying. They were just asking us. And, like, instantly we told them no. I was like, I know this sounds crazy, but we just feel called to this church that we're at now. We didn't even tell them that we felt like we were supposed to be hired. We just said that we feel that we're called to be at Epicenter. And so they respected that. And even the people who actually took those positions, I knew them. And it was awesome how God worked that out for them. And so now they're launched into ministry. And if we would have taken that, we would have taken that away from them. But I'll never forget, there was one day that it was when we had the 3 p.m. services. Cammie gave a word. I believe it was either, I think it was to you. Was it just to you or to both of us? It was you. And you said, I feel like the Lord's going to give you new jobs. And then later that night, we were at another church because there was a prophetic speaker. And she prophesied over both of us, the Lord's going to give you guys new jobs. And then the Lord spoke to Lena and Alan about bringing us on as intern staff. But here's the thing. If I wasn't alone with the Lord, I would have taken that first opportunity because it sounded awesome. It felt awesome. But it wasn't what God wanted me to do. But you won't know that if you're not alone with him. You're going to be going by what feels right, what looks good, what looks right, but is it right? And you won't know unless you're with him. And so, the Lord wants to be part of your everyday life. He wants to be with you while you're at work. He wants to be with you in your hobbies. For me, I love playing video games. It's the way that I just wind down and relax. And I invite the Lord into that. And he meets me there. There's times that I'm looking for something in a game, and I've been looking, and he just says, oh, it's over there. And then I go over there, and then it's there. And yeah. And so the Lord, he wants to be with you with everything that you're doing, but you have to invite him in there because he's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force himself to come and hang out with you. And even when I'm playing games, I mean, there's times that he's given me prophetic words, just stuff like that. Just my alone time, he knows that I'm open to hearing him. Not that he can't any other time, but it's just, and that's not even my secret place time. That's just me relaxing, having fun. And so I'll close with this. If you want to know what the love of the Father looks like, look to the life of Jesus. John 14:19 says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And when you know the love of the Father, you're supposed to walk in that same love. So that's why it's so important, like I've been saying, get into the Word. Have your time with him. See what the love of the Father really looks like. See what it looks like to be a son. See how Jesus, even though he was very busy, he still got alone to seek the Father. And Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're here, Lord. I thank you that you just want to father us, each and every single one of us. You sent your son, Lord, because you loved us so that we could come into an intimate relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that you've made us your sons. You've made us your daughters. I thank you we would just walk like you, we would imitate you. I thank you, Lord, just for bringing us into a deeper place of intimacy with you, God. It's not a chore to seek you. It's not a chore to get into the word, but it's a pleasure to be able to seek you and to know you and to love you. And if there's any areas in our life, maybe we don't feel like we relate to an orphan, but if there's any areas in our life or any areas in our thinking where we may have an orphan mindset, I thank you, Lord, that you would just father us in that area, that you would shine your light and your truth on those areas and help us to see from the perspective of a son and a daughter. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We just want to know you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.